A character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Something like that. This is not a gimmick. I really don't remember what number show these are. So,
You don't, and I don't ever think to pull it up before you start babbling about the beginning of the show.
Yeah, I believe it's 177, but whatever. It's Kevin. Obviously, it's me, Jeremy. So there you go. It's the same old, same old.
Yep,
so
177. You are right.
Okay. So anyways, we're here to talk about the big stuff. We already had an audio show earlier this week for Elimination Chamber. This week we'll talk about Raw, a little bit of SmackDown because Kevin's kind of behind on it if we get to it. But first, let's just start with the big news. And this is really non-wrestling related, but everyone's talking about it. I posted on it. Shows we listened to. It was even on NBC News now. It's all over the place. And that is the CM Punk and Chris Brown Twitter war, because they're beefing. They got a beef with each other.
yeah, they do.
That's what it is.
It's just, you know, of all people, like, it was just surprising that he, like, I don't know how many tweets Chris Brown must get a day, but how did he figure out, or, you know, like, it was just like, oh, yeah, you know what, I'm going to start something with CM Punk. You know, the hate tweets that dude probably gets, that was just strange to me.
Yeah. I don't understand it, but I guess because other people picked it up, and I guess CM Punk would be considered a celebrity, you know.
Right.
You know, I guess kind of, but he's been on different media outlets, you know. Kimmel, he was on. He was on, was it Bill Simon? Is it
Simmons?
Thank you.
His
BS report thing. Yeah. So, you know, I guess that's why. I don't know how anyone really realizes anything happens on Twitter. And, like, you'll see other sites go like, hey, like Kurt Angle today interjected his thoughts into it and then quickly deleted it. But yet a lot of people found out about it. And I'm like, well, how the hell did you even find out? I mean, do you have, like, one of these, like, goofy, like, Matrix sort of setups? We have different screens all over, and, like, Twitter's over here, and, like, everyone's different feeds for all your wrestler stuff, and I guess that's what happens when you have time. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that and you're just obsessed about something you shouldn't be obsessed about.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's that, too. But now, I don't know what to make of this. I don't even know why it's even something to bring up other than it has
it's been on major TV and radio.
Yeah, but I mean, it's nothing. And even with CM Punk's videos talking about it, he even says, you know, I'm a realist and this is never going to happen. Well,
right.
I don't know. I'm not defending Chris Brown at all. I mean, quite the opposite. If you didn't read what I posted. And really, that could have gone on. That could have been a 37-page post today, but, you know, I didn't have time. But, you know, Chris Brown's obviously half-retarded outside of beating women. And real quick, this whole domestic abuse and CM Punk saying that he was striking her in the face, why is everyone trying to pretty this stuff up? He was punching her, closed fist, in the face. It wasn't like a strike where it's like, you know, pecking, like you strike someone's arm, you know, a little love tap on the arm or something.
Right.
They try and pretty this stuff up, and it just kind of, it makes it easier to deal with when you shouldn't at all. if Punk really should have just gone out and said, well, you know, I don't beat women, I don't punch them in the face repeatedly, I don't trap them in my car when they try to escape. I mean, that's why I linked the police report into the in the post there, in case no one's seen it. I mean, the guy maliciously, I mean, he attacked her for pretty much, you know, being a woman. And
yeah, that's it's real charming.
Yeah, so I mean, outside of the retards who were so quick to forgive and stuff, but it kind of got away and lost what I was going to say. But
yeah, well, there's the difference between acting like you should be forgiven and just being an ass about it.
Yeah,
and he's just been an ass. It's just like, I apologize. I'm great.
Yeah, and then you hear about him joking, hey, give me your number, I won't punch you, or something.
Yeah, that's the pickup line that he used. It's just like,
yeah,
okay, then you haven't learned your lesson, clearly, at all.
Yeah, and then people are like, well, he wouldn't say something like that. Yes, he clearly would. It's
yeah,
you know, I guess the sound cliched, it's that Hollywood mentality, you know. A celebrity mentality. They're untouchable. That's why. You know, I don't know. And I know it's been brought up that it's kind of a contradiction because CM Punk was talking about, like, Steve Austin and whatnot. And, you know, Austin was, you know, the domestic abuse charges the abuse charges that Deborah Austin at the time, filed against him. But he also, you know, came out and said he had anger issues. He came out and said, you know, all of this happened. So it's a tad different. It's a guy that did sort of repent for it and
hasn't flipped out on any women since then.
Yeah, I mean, not that we know, at least, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just the whole thing's stupid all overall. I mean, Punk shouldn't even have bothered. It's one of, like I said, it's one of those cliched internet tough guy things. But
yeah, no, I mean, I don't think it hurts to really start that. It's just like, keep yourself viable and in the media, because really, after getting everyone talking, shit, was that early? Well, no, that was last year at this point. And really getting close to a year ago. Because wasn't that at the end of the year?
What's that?
When he won the title, finally. It was before SummerSlam.
Yeah, I can't remember, though.
Yeah, it was I think it's the pay-per-view before SummerSlam, or maybe two before SummerSlam. So, it's been a while. And, I mean, they haven't done anything. The WWE hasn't done anything to keep him viable afterwards. Like, they've let him have the spotlight and everything and hold the title, but as far as like actually getting a push behind him, they haven't really done that much media wise for him. So I mean, for me, it's just, you kind of go into that, if you're smart, and I think CM Punk is, you go into business for yourself like Zack Ryder did.
Mm-hmm.
And you just try to make your own your own TV time on other networks rather than worrying about the WWE sending you out like they would John Cena. It's just like, you know, just do it.
Yeah. But don't you think I want to believe what you said, but don't you think WWE's got to have their hands in it somehow also? You know, I know he said he didn't have a publicist or a PR machine and all that, but he does. WWE as a whole is a PR machine, you know? So I don't know if it's exactly 100% that he's doing this on his own. And I know he wants to maintain that he does, but I think we all know his promos and all that are clearly either approved or, you know, they're trusting him enough, you know, outside the scene, whatever, to do it without damaging anything.
Well, I would think, to me, the response was more might have been more staged than the initial interaction.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The initial reaction, yes. But I think like the video and subsequent response and whatever else after that. Yeah, I would think would have some sort of WWE approval or whatever else. But I don't know. It really comes across to me as like the internet tough guy thing, though. And I can't stand that stuff. And it's not. I don't believe for a second that Punk would do something like that. You know, would like if Chris Brown was around, I'd take him out right there. You know, something stupid like that.
Oh,
like anyone would.
I don't think anybody would. Everybody knows the repercussions of that. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, besides Chris Brown having bodyguards, whatever else, but obvious lawsuits, whatever else, because Chris Brown clearly knows the law, because someone made him take down his "You're on steroids" tweet. but I don't know, man. It's like one of those stories. It's like a Matt Hardy thing, but not to that full extent, to where it's like, why are we even talking about it? Like, why is anyone talking about this? Twitter was such a cool way to express yourself when it first started. And now it's just petty shit like this. In a way, I mean, and we follow some of the same people, so you know what I'm talking about. It's just people just baiting other people and just trying to, like, blow up their spot and stuff. You know?
Oh. Yeah, well, that's it. Just sometimes just watching, like, Monday Night Raw, it's hysterical. Like, not that...
Oh, it's unimportant.
Okay. it's just amusing to me. Just, while watching any of them, not that I don't think that some people genuinely have a different opinion. It's just one of those things where it's amusing to see, oh, that was a great promo. And then, like, the next person typing says, that was shit. And it's just like, okay, was I, like, watching, like, you know, I just don't understand sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, are you, like, some people I'm like, hold on, you're joking, right? But, you know, and that's why I guess even in my columns there, a lot of the times, and maybe I should, because I kind of stopped doing it, but the whole that sarcasm thing, it's just like, it just doesn't come across sometimes. You know, like when you're just trying to be a smartass.
Yes, I know full well what that's all about.
So it's just like, okay, people, I'm being a smartass. This isn't really my opinion. You know, stop, you know, don't be an idiot and take it that way.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of that has to do with the audience, though, that you have to, like, your audience has to know you. So for people like us who are not well known, and I don't mean to tear down a curtain, but we're not, that, you know, the people who follow us understand the personalities of everyone involved. So they'll be like, oh, okay. But for the outsiders who, like, you know,
stop by every now and again.
Yeah, or someone goes, oh, my God, look what this guy did, because if you hashtag something, it goes to everyone, which is a great way to get people to hate you, or get people to follow you until they go, this is all just white trash and race. Forget it. I'm not following this guy anymore. you know, it's that sort of thing that gets people in trouble, and that's really what the entire media does now. Yeah, you know, when they inject themselves they inject themselves in these things without understanding what's going on because they don't know the audience and they go, oh, this is terrible, blah, blah, blah. But I guess that's why I always thought the sarcasm thing when you did that was actually funnier than leaving it as like trying to figure out what the sarcasm was.
Oh, okay.
Like your sarcasm, putting sarcasm in there was just like, that's sarcasm, which even has a sarcastic tone to it. Like, you're so fucking stupid, I have to tell you what it is. But conversely, someone can go, well, if you were a better writer, you wouldn't have to put sarcasm in there. Because I've heard that too. Not about you, but
right.
You know, just in general. I mean, but it's just better. I don't know. Maybe it's a writing style to where you're basically calling your audience stupid for not understanding something. And you know, to me, that's great to me. So.
Yeah. Well, and it kind of goes back to the you never know who your audience is going to be too. It's just kind of like, I don't know. Maybe it's the first time someone's actually read this.
Yeah, well, that's also why I run things through you guys, because you know me, I don't care. So, and then that's where, you know, you'll be like, ah, I'm not sure about that, and Eric will just say no. So, something about building an audience, like, whatever. But yeah, so they're warring. I always think calling it a beef is funnier, because that makes no sense.
Yeah, well, and I like how it's a war, and it's only been, like, 4 tweets between them or something.
I just like how it's a war, and it's just, it's not even, it's words, of course, but it's not even verbal, it's typing. and then CM Punk figures that's not good enough, so I'm going to war on video. It's just the over, remember 9/11 happened, and they dropped Raw is War. Because war was too big of a since there was a real war going on, they didn't want to offend anybody, which was hilariously stupid to begin with. I'm talking about the war, of course, but now it's just like everything. It's like everything's amped up 100% all the time. It's a war. It's epic, and I know I just like you know said that yesterday, but there's no plateau below it. Everything's is a extreme, if you will, right off the bat now. Just weird.
I mean, that's why I will continue to try and make that distinction of something just being good. Because, I mean, I guess that's the other funny thing when you're seeing the reviews to me is that, yeah, it's either it was a great promo or it blew. There's no like, it was fine.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like a promo doesn't have to be a 0 or a 10. Or a match doesn't have to be a 0 or a 10. But, yeah, it's just like it's one or the other these days. It's just like, huh?
Yeah. I guess it's just so much easier to dismiss things or absolutely accept it instead of challenging yourself or somebody else to go, well, you know what, that's really good, but there's these points. Or, you know what, that was mostly bad, but there was some good in it. It's no one wants to do that. No one wants to take the time anymore to think that way. Or, yeah, honestly, I don't even think they want to think that way, which is why these shows are so damn long-winded, because we're most of the time trying to figure out our thoughts as we're talking. I guess we should prepare ahead of time. Nah, fuck that. But, so they're beefing on the Raw.
After you say multiple times you have nothing to talk about, you spend another 10 minutes talking about it.
Well, being at a loss for words is not one of my sports days. So, all right, so Raw was a pretty big show. Let's start with it was overall, I thought it was a good show. Pretty much solid. There was one glaring exception.
The thing that we don't want to talk about.
I'm sorry. There were two glaring exceptions then. Well, that one wasn't exactly bad. It's just confounding. Like, why is this even happening? That's where I'm at with that one. And just real quick, it's just David Otunga and Ezekiel Jackson. Neither of us understand what's going on.
We kind of understand. We just think that there's going to be some sort of tag match at WrestleMania that involves the GM-ship of both Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
And to me, that seems to be the a way to start things. Unfortunately, you're putting a guy that just doesn't look good anymore, who grew out his hair, and some guy that sucks the ring together. Two guys that suck in the ring together. Is really not a good way to get that off to a roaring start.
So is this what it's like when I say I have nothing to talk about, and then it just goes on and on, and you're on the other end just going, oh, come on already.
No, that's all I got on that one.
Okay. No, I was just fucking around.
that's why I was just blowing it off. Whatever.
All right. It's fucker. But, well, no, the other glaring exception, and I don't want to dwell too much on this. Oh, boy. The Eve Torres stuff at the beginning of the show.
It
was such an odd thing, and not because of like the weird misogynistic tone, or it's like it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, and that was
in any respect.
And that was one going back to the Twitter not making sense. I think someone retweeted, I think it might have been like Divas Paradise or whatever, Trish Stratus saying that that was a great job by Eve, and I'm like, huh? Like, really? Like, you bought any of her crying stuff? Like, whatsoever?
Wait, she thought that what she did was good?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it was Trish, and I'm like, no. That was all terrible.
Well, all right, I'm confused, yeah, because it... All right, I guess logically, like I said, we're not dwelling too much on this, but... Logically, none of it made sense. She's backstage talking to a heel, to two heels, on camera, saying about how she just used Zack Ryder, and she's going to use John Cena, and that the two heels she's with are saying, "Well, Zack was kind of a cool guy." So it's like they did two face turns and a heel turn, and I just turned to Elise. I was like, she may not want to talk about her master plan on camera. And then all of a sudden, John Cena's there, and he just starts laughing, and he's like, well, let me explain. And then I'm like, why is this starting the show? I didn't even have the thought, why is this happening? I was just saying, why is this starting the show?
Those thoughts were just concurrent in my head.
Yeah. Well, once it got out into the ring and all that was happening, then I was like, why is this happening?
Yeah, here it is. It's digging at Eve Marie Torres' storyline. Nothing like a little character development and great performance. I smell heel turn. Believe. With Eve, obviously, being emphasized.
Okay, that had to have been from last week.
No.
I refuse to believe that.
Why would last week have been any better?
Well, because she's saying she's sniffing heel turn.
Oh.
I mean, wasn't it pretty clear it was a heel turn anyways?
I don't know. She could, like, with the way they...
Was she being sarcastic? Wait a minute, does this go back to our original thing? Was she being sarcastic and we're not getting it?
Why would at somebody if you're telling them that you're being a smartass?
Well, maybe Eve... Like, maybe they're all friends, and she was like, you won't believe the shit they want me to do on the show. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'll watch. And then, I don't know, I'm trying to justify a scenario, you know?
Yeah, and you're doing a horrendous job.
I know, because I don't believe in it. but yeah, I mean, what a weird, but also, it's Trish Stratus, who, remember, was the one that stripped down and, like, barked like a dog and... All that sort of stuff in the ring, which was fucking sexy as hell. I don't care if it was misogynistic or not. That was awesome.
Well, but that made some sense. Like, she was trying to please the boss, and she wanted to keep the job and all that. Like, this made no sense whatsoever. Because why is Eve acting like a heel? Like, she had a fine out that... You know, it was kind of a heat of the moment. She's in John Cena's arms. You know, like the week before, she'd explained it just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do you need another heel woman? Like, I don't...
Well, especially one that, you know, circumstances happen. And I guess maybe they thought because of the whole, we'd still be friends or something. That there was one of the nerdy writer guys was like, no, I've heard that way too much in my life, so we're going to kill this bitch on TV. Yeah, I don't know.
I guess.
You know, if we're going to play stereotypes, we might as well do all the nerdy writer stuff, too. I mean, I don't know, but that's enough of that. I know we're like in the middle of a point, but who cares? Let's get to the important stuff finally. I guess there's three places to start. Really the three, well, four big stories, but three really big stories. I guess since we were already kind of talking about them, we'll keep going with them. John Cena's promo on The Rock.
Yes.
That was really good. And I don't believe for a second that these two actually have that much animosity towards each other.
Right, yeah, no, I'm not completely buying the, because, like, everyone's doing this, because even JR is doing it in his blog. No, these guys really don't like each other, and it's just like, how pissed can you be, really be? Because John Cena, if he had The Rock at every WWE event, he would not be the number one guy.
You know, well, yeah, yeah.
You know, exactly. he would not be making as much money. He would not be sniffing around the title belt as much, and he's actually taken a pretty nice hiatus from it recently. Yeah, and then The Rock, it's just like, honestly, all the Rock's got to do is, I love wrestling, I'm not coming back full-time ever, fuck you, I'm making a shit ton of money, and not killing my body at the same time.
Yeah.
That's all he needs to say, but he keeps on defending how much he loves wrestling. And no matter how many times Cena makes the point, he's going to be consistently right all the time. The Rock is just talking out of his the side of his mouth.
Yeah.
You know, he's saying one thing but doing another. Like, he's been on Raw like once or twice in the meantime. And then maybe a couple more video packages.
Yeah. But doesn't it kind of come off the sour grapes from John Cena, though?
No, because he keeps on saying that's what he wants to do. That he wants to be at the top of the wrestling world. He doesn't. Because, like, he even admitted that his movies were kind of shitty.
Which I thought that was kind of a weird play to say. It almost sounded like Cena by doing that.
So you don't
like
it when Michael Madsen says that he was in shitty movies?
I'm trying to think of how to say it. If Cena would have come out, like Michael Madsen, I don't know what you're referring to. What Kevin's getting at is he was in an interview with O&A and they were asking about this a movie he was in, and he just flat out said it was shit.
Well, and he even reviews his own bad movies on his site. Like, he doesn't even need to be in an interview. Like, he'll
man-make
his own movies on his website.
That's fucking funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But, all right. But see, that's what he's doing right there. But Cena will talk about a movie and all this stuff, but it just seems like now it. The timing of it to me is suspect. Only that, and he's trying. It almost seems like he's saying that just to kiss up to the audience, like you and me, and the guys who aren't like 100% behind him, let alone the guys that are 100% in actual hatred of him. That he's saying this now to try and get on their good side, to try and be like, well, you know, I don't make that good in movies. I'm like, come on, guys, let's be honest here. Like one of those sort of things,
right?
Like it's something they already knew. But he kept denying, and rightfully so. I mean, he shouldn't be sitting there, you know, dogging out shit while he's trying to promote it. You know, I don't really agree with that.
Right.
But, you know, it's just one of those sort of things. Man, I don't have a huge problem with it. Trust me, I don't have a huge problem with it. But to me, that was about the only disingenuous part. And I agree with you when he says that, you know, The Rock never shows up in this and this and.
Yeah, I mean,
but
like I said, he can make that point as many times, and I'm like, yup.
Yeah, but I just wonder where this can go, because Rock said on his Twitter, that I'm coming next week, John. You have no idea. And I mean, Cena kind of blew him up on Monday when he said, let's be honest, the only reason he took the WrestleMania gig was to promote Fast Five and start his Twitter account. And well, but I'm looking at the WrestleMania card.
Mm-hmm.
it almost doesn't seem like they need this match now. And I know there's going to be a lot of another argument in defense of Rock and all of this is, well, when everyone's paychecks are bigger because of the pay-per-view buys, well, I don't think that's a fair argument in this case because they're giving you Hell in a Cell between Taker and Triple H. You're getting CM Punk and Chris Jericho as well. And then, you know, Daniel Bryan, Sheamus, whatever. But
yeah, power-wise, that's not good, but I think that they should be able to deliver in the ring. That's
right. And you've got two – I mean, that – honestly, Taker, Triple H, if Cena and Rock weren't on the card, that would be the main event.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't particularly agree with people saying – and I've seen this different places – that I just – I guess I just don't agree with that because WrestleMania sells itself. And if based off of Survivor Series pay-per-view rates or buys, Rock didn't make a difference at all. Of course, he was only, what, there to promote it for 2 weeks, unlike the 5 weeks he's going to have for WrestleMania, plus the WrestleMania name involved as well.
Yeah, right.
But going with what John Cena said, though, was I'm here all the time. You're not, and what's, I mean, Rock can't say anything to that. Other than, well, I'm off making movies, I'm giving you different ways to entertain the fans or something like that.
I'm giving you movies that are almost as crappy as the ones that you're making, John.
Well, yeah, well, I don't know. I saw Fast Five, and I was actually very pleasantly surprised by it. And those movies are usually dog shit.
Yeah, okay.
Just... You know, honestly, it's one of those shut-your-brain-off movies.
Oh, right.
And it's really enjoyable. If you try and think the stuff there, just forget it. So, I don't know, but I think kind of got off the subject a little, but Cena's delivery, the passion, and really just his delivery and passion. He got away from those idiotic jokes. He got away from a little wink, wink, nod, nod thing that he usually does. Like, you know, your Twitter's on fire talking to Kane. Like, wink. Like, haha, you know, fire Kane. Get it? I don't think he's ever said that, but.
Right. Yeah, no, I know what you meant.
But yeah, but stuff like that. It's documented. I'm not a Cena fan, but I'm not a giant hater anymore. But it really, that to me, that promo helped sell WrestleMania, which is what they're supposed to be doing in the first place, which is in stark contrast to what he did at the beginning of the show, which made that Eve thing totally nonsensical. It was two different John Cenas.
Yeah, no, it was that was really strange. And plus, I guess that kind of goes back to, like, not even just why turn Eve. It's like you're done with that story.
Yeah.
You know, well, there are a lot of other ways to turn Eve heel aside from having – as you noted, like, they love going with this convoluted stuff. Like, the heels are acting like baby faces, and the baby face is acting like a heel. And it's just like, huh? Like, what are you trying to... Ah, my brain hurts.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's go back to John Cena, not even. It's that shit just grinds it to a halt.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was it was a bizarre way to start the show. It made no sense. And it doesn't help, as you mentioned, sell WrestleMania. Yeah. So what's the point of doing it?
Yeah, I'm just hoping that this is the John Cena we get. I mean, obviously, I think we'll get it all of WrestleMania season, which is what we're in. Which I think we coined that, by the way.
What?
The WrestleMania season, but I don't think we can prove it.
No.
Whatever. But no, That's the John Cena that can sell tickets and pay-per-views. He doesn't have to be the goofy, dopey guy that supposedly, you know, he's comfortable with or whatever. Because he's... Yeah, it's just repetition. Sorry.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong
It's just incredibly frustrating that you get the John Cena that is taking on CM Punk, and you get a serious John Cena. You get all this stuff with him, and then he just reverts back when he's clearly not into the program. I mean, even with Kane and all that stuff, he wasn't into the program. I mean, he's joking around during the match, like we talked about on the Elimination Chamber review. He was just dicking around during that stuff, making jokes. And it's like, all right. So it'd be nice. You can be yourself, but you're not supposed to be yourself. You're a wrestler. I mean, you know, Kamala didn't walk around in the fucking face paint and all that shit all the time. You know, he didn't go to the Waffle House after the shows and someone asked him, like, well, what do you want to be? And then fucking Steve Lombardi puts the kimchi mask back on and goes, oh, he wants the Ace Benedict with waffles or something. Mm, no,
that sounds tasty.
It does, actually. But no, there's a difference between being yourself and then being a character that's yourself. I don't know. But I just hope that the John Cena stuff keeps going. It makes Raw a much more tolerable show.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you hit it more with the, honestly, with mentioning that maybe it is just the fact that he's a little bit bored.
Yeah, well,
I
can't blame him.
You know, maybe as much as he has a passion and wants to stay in wrestling, you know, maybe Rock and, you know, CM Punk bring it out in him because there's nobody else around that will.
Yeah.
You know, Triple H isn't really going to feud with him right now, which, you know, that might help. And, hey, it wouldn't be bad if, you know, he had another run against Taker, honestly, like if Taker sticks around.
Yeah, I don't know how we've never gotten Undertaker and John Cena at WrestleMania. That's pretty crazy to me. Let alone a John Cena-Undertaker feud.
Yeah, no, you know what? I kept on saying I don't know who they could put up against Taker to, you know, end the losing streak. Cena would be a guy, would be the only other guy. I kept on selling Triple H, but wow, yeah, Cena would fit that bill.
And Cena's a legitimate, you know, Cena is a legitimate threat, really one of the last ones.
Yep.
So, but I mean, I just couldn't imagine, this is obviously an offshoot, but if they actually had Cena end the streak somehow, it's always a joke, the internet will come to an end. all right, let's move on to the next one. There's obviously next week's Cena and Rock again, so we got more to talk about. Let's see. Then we also had the Battle Royal. A couple things to take out of that. To me, there was never a question who was going to win. It was always Jericho. He could have been tossed over the top rope and both feet hit the ground, and I still think he would have won. You know, even if they said he was eliminated, he still would have been declared winner. It was that much of a lock, of a sure thing.
Yeah, it was pretty dumb of them to do things the way that they did with that one. It's just like, okay, so you start a big feud, you have Jericho talk about CM Punk before the match, and then what the hell else? And they had the big angle at the pay-per-view.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like
it just seemed lazy to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess they had to do something to establish the fact that, you know, there was no clear number one contender. And for all intents and purposes, there wasn't. I mean, Jericho had two matches. One, he'd left after he tagged in, ran around the ring celebrating, tagged in and left. Three matches on TV. And then another one with the tag team match he was in later on when he was actually talking again. And then the Elimination Chamber. So logically, he shouldn't have been the number one contender. So they needed to do something, but I don't know. I guess it wouldn't have mattered. It would have been, you know.
Yeah, so, I mean, they could have done just a couple of matches if they wanted to. There's no reason that they need to. Well, I mean, I guess they could have a contender, but considering that they have 6 weeks, there's no reason that Raw just couldn't have had like their top four guys or something wrestle each other.
Yeah.
Once this week, and then you know have the big reveal next week.
Yeah. Well, the BCS and WWE are the only two that don't like playoff systems. You know, they don't like the tournament thing. They'll do it, but they never do it right, they never do it right. They always push it way too fast, something like that. You know, the heavyweight champ or the WWE title tournament where they had to bump the last match because they went too long.
No.
So it was the next week and all that. Well, the other thing that came out of the Battle Royal, and really all that was left for this Battle Royal, was to tell stories to get you to WrestleMania. And I think they accomplished that. I get the feeling, I don't know if Money in the Bank's going to be on like they have rumored to be, but that certainly seems like the prime spot for Santino to win, if they have it. Because now they're actually going with this underdog thing, and they carried it on to SmackDown as well.
Well, I don't know. If he ends up wrestling Heath Slater.
Yeah.
I'm watching as we're recording here, and it does. I do not feel like I, A, need to do a report, or B, what was B? I had a B, and it fucking slipped.
Well, while you're saying that,
but
I'm
no,
tell you
I don't
right
feel
now.
Like I need. Oh, that's what it was. I don't feel like I need to listen to these promos. I have closed caption on right now. So,
okay. I was gonna say when we're up for WrestleMania that Friday, are we gonna do like a live review of SmackDown? Because that'd be scintillating.
Like so, MST3K style, or do you just mean we're both gonna we're gonna
so
tag team the writing duties?
That'd be so much fun. You think we're actually going to be home for SmackDown?
I don't know. I don't start drinking that early most of the time.
Oh, okay.
I'm too old. If I want to stay out until the bar is closed, I need to start a little bit later.
At 1.
No, at the end of SmackDown. That works for me.
Oh, that's 10 o'clock. That's fine.
Yep.
All right. It'll be good because Elise won't be hungover for the entire day like she was this weekend. But no, all right, so the Battle Royal was telling a couple different stories. The big one that screwed everything up was Big Show deciding to throw Dolph Ziggler out of the ring, and Wade Barrett, I'm not sure what was supposed to happen here. It looked to me like Big Show was supposed to throw Ziggler over into Wade Barrett, you know, and do the usual, and they both fall to the ground helplessly sort of thing. But instead, Big Show just tossed his ass over.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure, did Big Show misjudge where he was throwing him? Or did he just fuck up? I mean,
I think he just fucked up. I don't know how else to put it because he had two guys side by side. And for whatever reason, he threw Ziggler in a straight line. Instead of doing, like, the sideways, like, gorilla slam kind of a deal and throwing him sideways so that he comes down on both of the guys equally, he throws him like a goddamn lawn dart.
Yeah.
And honestly, I saw the ref make the accent. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I just saw Ziggler's face go off of the announce table. I'm like, oh my God, the dude has a broken neck.
I saw that. And when Wade Barrett went to the ground and all you heard was, and then all the sound went silent. I just went, uh-oh, he's in a bad way. And then you saw the referee run around the corner of the ring, into the shot doing the X, and I was like, oh shit, no, Wade Barrett is not hurt. I didn't even think Dolph got hurt because I thought he braced himself good enough that, you know, there was really nothing wrong.
Right.
But yeah, it was like he was supposed to go sideways and show just fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, accidents happen, but that's a huge accident. You know?
Yeah, that would be a pretty big one.
Yeah, especially when it for all intents and purposes seemed to be the Big Show was going to take on Cody Rhodes and Wade Barrett. Now, whether or not Shaquille O'Neal was going to be part of it or not is something else. But it looks like that match is done, so now it's just going to be Cody and Big Show. Which, did you get to that part of SmackDown where Cody interrupts Big Show's match?
Yes.
That's hilariously stupid. I can't stand that. You're in the middle of a match, and someone's music starts. Of course, he'll turn around and be like, what the hell? And then Cody's sitting there talking to him, and he's like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. No, you wouldn't. You'd keep fighting. I mean, that always pisses me off when they do that stuff.
Yeah, that's one of those consistent things that we don't harp on enough.
Yeah, just really get, just really dumb. And it's lazy, too, so.
Yeah, no, it's just like, I just saw the match, too. He knocks out Mark Henry, and then he goes to the back against, to go get Cody Rhodes, and it's just like, you just knocked a dude out. Like, all you got to do is roll him over, pin him, and then go after Rhodes.
Exactly. Yes.
Like, yeah. Why would you not want to win your match?
Yep. That was all that's needed. And I don't know. It's they like getting too cute, and then he loses the match, and Cody's like, ah, ha, ha. Fuck, whatever. I mean, I'm sorry, he doesn't lose the match, but well, he does by getting counted out. But
yeah. And it's hilarious that someone who isn't a sumo wrestler loses to a grand champion sumo wrestler. Yeah, man, that is such an easy match. I'm sure Cody Rhodes could have won that. It's just like, dude, like you wouldn't qualify for like the smallest brand of sumo wrestler.
Yeah,
you know that, and that motherfucker would get tossed. Him and his twig-like knees would get tossed around so quick because he's got no fucking leg strength whatsoever.
Yeah. And it's funny, I actually forgot all about that Akebono thing. I remember him wearing the diaper or the whatever it's called, ceremonial garb.
Right.
But I totally forgot about that match and just how awkward and scary that whole thing was. Because, I mean, Akebono, if he wants, he could have fucked him up bad. And it really did look like at the beginning of that thing when they showed the highlights of it, Sho had no idea he was going to get his ass slapped around like that. Did you just see him blinking like, whoa, 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 whoa. And by then, it's all over. So Big Show, I don't know, to me, I mean, accidents happen, but that was a colossal mix-up, and I don't think he was trying to send a message, because it doesn't matter, doesn't really matter at all, but good grief, man, just be careful, you just knocked out a guy that he can't participate, probably. I mean, it's a 6 to 8 week thing, so it's possible. If he really wanted to risk it, he could do WrestleMania, probably.
Because did it end up being hyperextended or dislocated elbow?
They said partially dislocated, which is your elbow, so to me that means it's dislocated. There's no partial at all. You know? But, I mean, Eddie Guerrero had the same thing happen, and he was out almost 2 months. And that was before they really gave it. I mean, they gave a shit about injury, you know. I mean, to the marginal.
That's before everyone started going, "Hey, why are these guys coming back so soon?"
Yeah,
that is not a healthy work environment.
Yeah. No, I mean, how they marginally care now, but.
They care enough not to get sued.
Yeah, so I just wonder if that's going to be, if there's not a Money in the Bank or something, that big tag match, if that's Ziggler's going to take his place. So you have Ziggler and Cody Rhodes versus Big Show. And to real quick to go back to something, and this has to do with the WrestleMania matches.
Right.
The Eve program wasn't totally done, because if they wanted to turn her heel, which is maybe this is where they're going to go with it, she's going to go to Kane, because I still say it's going to be Zack Ryder and Kane at WrestleMania.
Yeah, there's no reason not to do that.
Yeah, and so Eve can interject herself in that, so. But I forgot that earlier. But yeah, so then on Raw, the biggest part was the showdown, the verbal sparring again of Undertaker and Triple H. And we finally got Triple H to admit to a match, or I'm sorry, to commit to a match with Undertaker. And then they added the Hell in a Cell stipulation, and I was just like, holy shit, are you kidding? And I just told Elise, and maybe this is just the fan. You know how I get when I get to these things? This is just the fan of me coming out going, WrestleMania is going to be really good. Or, I'm sorry, it should be really good.
Agreed.
In my eyes, four top-notch matches. So the rest of the card is just gravy from here on out.
Yeah, because both the title matches should be well-wrestled. I hope that, the Taker-Triple H match is not as laborious as the one was this past year.
Yeah.
Because, people that listen to us on a regular basis know that none of us that were there live were very excited about that match.
No. Not until the Triple H tombstone on Undertaker did any of us actually care.
Or most of the crowd, really, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. I admit, I'm pretty easy to please at live events. I mean, I get caught up in the atmosphere and all that, so any journalistic integrity, not that I have any to begin with, totally goes out the window. And I wasn't into that match at all. I was like, okay, they're just going to punch and kick each other the whole time? All right. But anyways, but I think the added danger of the Hell in the Cell is a huge selling point, because Taker doesn't lose those. Not that I recall, at least. And Triple H, he's lost one or two of those.
Right. Yeah. No. I mean, you needed something to make it a little different. Did they need to go with the Hell in a Cell in particular? I mean, what else are both of them known for? I mean, they're going to have so much footage for these two to show. It's going to be, it's going to be good for the build up, because you know that there's not going to be much wrestling between either of them.
No, this is, and I'll just save it, I suppose. But this almost seems like one that should be ripe for blood coming back for one match. Even though it's a huge pay-per-view, so they probably won't allow it. But with the stakes so high, yeah. I mean, and I agree that the amount of footage that they can use of both of them will just be crazy. The video packages themselves should be amazing. So
yeah. So and I really And I think I said it in the almost live, or definitely live and half-assed review of Raw there. That was another one where, you know, just because the beginning was more of a rerun promo-wise, I wasn't quite that into it. But by the end of that thing, I was the same way. I was like, awesome, they're going to be in a Hell in a Cell. I'm game.
Yeah.
Count me in.
And it's like all's forgiven for last year. That sounds awesome. I don't know. It's just weird. I try to be cynical with this stuff, but the fan always kind of leaks out around this time. I don't know why. So, and that's really what it comes down to. I do. The one part that cracked me up was I do like how Undertaker has a shaved head. And they didn't, I know, obviously the reveal's coming, but it was just obvious that they addressed it, which is nice. But that the hood, was just resting on his bald head. And that just cracked me up for some reason. I just kept waiting for it, like Triple H to just go like and blow it off or something like that. The one thing I thought was weird, and I'll say it again later, but Undertaker's going to win this, but I did find it funny how Taker reacted to the Hell in a Cell stipulation, patted Hunter on the back, and just left. Just like Triple H did to him. Like, just like, you don't want any of it. So, I mean, it added that point of like, well, you know what? Maybe Taker's a little too cocky for his own good now. Like, as soon as that stipulation came up, Taker was like, I got this. And the announcers didn't address it. But that's what it seemed to me like, no problem. I got this handled easy.
Yeah, well, I mean, he did win the match next year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing that's just kind of funny. It's just one of those weird things. Like, there's no reason that Taker should have been that beat up, I guess, in a way, aside from to sell the story.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, unless they figure we're going to do this again next year. I don't know. Maybe they had that plan ahead. I mean, you know, some of the veteran dudes like that, or guys, they plan this shit out. So, I mean, maybe, you know, Taker had a bunch of surgeries done after that, so it's quite possible he was like, all right, look, I'm going to be out for a while, so let's do this big time, you know? But there's that. It was just a fun confrontation, and it was two big stars. And Triple H really has kind of transcended things. Going by the parents' test, so is The Undertaker, because they know who he is. And there's that. I don't know. We've been going. How long have we been going here? Let's see. Come on. You can load
it
up 50 there.
50 minutes.
Yeah, 56 minutes, actually. So, yeah. Daniel Bryan was pretty good. We'll leave it at that.
I don't know how much Teddy Long spends on suits, but it's a lot.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Those things are awesome. Like, it was a different suit than he had on Raw, this charcoal one that he's rocking. I mean, they're all pretty much the same style. But the guy knows how to color coordinate. What can I say?
Well, yeah. So, I'll just leave it alone. I guess we'll talk about
polar
Daniel Bryan.
Do I need to start and learn how to say that word correctly?
Well, since you just said Kohler, correct. Like, really? All right. Let's just wrap it up. This is going to go downhill. So, I guess we can talk about Daniel Bryan later. Maybe Dusty will bring it up on the TNA audio show later. I don't know. All right, I got to get the big thing for the plug here.
Yep, take a deep breath.
All right.
You can do
it. All right. Yeah, so So feel free to follow us on Twitter. We're at StuntGranny. I am at Granny Maze. Kevin is at DeFrango11. At Dusty Giebink is at Dusty Giebink. Eric is in some magical fan fun land, so we don't know if he's on Twitter anymore or not. You can email us at stuntgranny@gmail.com. And when you listen to the show, read a post, whatever, there is a comment section at the bottom. Feel free and leave your comments. I have been going out of my way to react to whatever comments you leave on something I wrote. I'm doing that for you. I don't enjoy it. So feel free and do those. We don't have a Facebook because we're all too lazy to make one, or get it built, one of the two. So, and also we're on iTunes, Stunt Granny Audio, Stunt Granny Audio Show, or just plain old Stunt Granny. You'll be able to find us automatically. Just subscribe. It's free. Automatically downloads. It's really fun. It's not, but it's supposed to hype it as cool. So I'm going to get out of here because my mouth is dry and I'm out of water. Later, guys.
Okie doke. Well, before I grab my sippy time beer, I'm going to do some unmentionable things to my half bath down here. So, grandkids, have a good night, and remember to wear your Depends.
How's that for pile-driving Miss Daisy?